I think I'm going to spin it again because that one doesn't work for this one, unfortunately.
Okay, okay. Whisk that wheel again.
Whisk the wheel. Re-whisk the wheel.
Re-whisk the wheel.
So get together, have a few laughs.
Uh-oh. Shit, lady, do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
Lady, put the freaking gun down on the ground right now. Take your son and cross the freaking street and say that until he's going to get you.
Hello. And welcome to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way, a film podcast about the multitude of works about Bruce Willis. My name is Kendrick Martin.
And I'm Josh Carter. Today, we are going to be doing a episode on a cartoon extravaganza. It's a segment that we are doing whenever Bruce Willis is in cartoons. And he happened to be in some cartoons kind of close together. So we're going to be covering two different things. We're going to be covering the TV show that he was in called Bruno the Kid that was made in the mid-90s. And then we're also going to be talking about the 1996 movie Beavis and Butthead Do America, which was written and directed by Mike Judge, featuring the voices of Bruce Willis, Demi Moore, and Mike Judge.
And Mike Judge, and Mike Judge.
And Mike Judge.
Mike Judge, yeah.
They saved as much money as possible on the casting department.
Mm-hmm. You can find our previous episodes of this podcast over at williswaypod.com. This podcast is also part of the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network, which is a great network of like-minded podcasts that all talk about different action heroes and the animated movies they do. Just kidding on the last part. But you can find those episodes over at lastoftheactionheroes.com. If you want to support this podcast, we would love it if you would head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a star rating. That is probably the biggest way you can support this podcast. That and call me up and tell me I'm doing a good job. That's the second biggest way.
We haven't talked about this, but is your love language words of affirmation? Would calling you up be like the big great thing in your day?
Because I don't believe in putting myself in a single box, I refuse to acknowledge what my quote-unquote love language is. That's because I'm an Enneagram 4, aka refuse to be categorized. I'm a millennial. We don't like labels. Or what was that meme from eons ago? I don't know. I think I do enjoy me some words of affirmation.
All right.
And also, I love... That's the real reason I want positive reviews. I want to feel loved.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that it's not gifts, because we are making no money from this podcast. So you'd feel very unloved if that was the case.
Yeah, I think if I were looking to this podcast for my love and fulfillment in life, maybe that's a separate problem that I should work out on.
No kidding. Okay, so before we dive into discussing these works today, we kind of wanted to give you an idea on if they are worth watching. So we're going to go through and kind of do, if you guys listened to our The Player / Four Rooms episode, we kind of went through and did each of them individually. So we're going to start with the Bruno the Kid. And while we're not going to rank this within the rest of the movies, we do like to rate movies a Bruce Willis out of a Bruce Willis. So we'll kind of do that with this one as well. So basically, the way that we do that is anything that we give over a Will, over a Bruce within our ranking system, we would consider this to be something that is worth watching. And then however many letters of Willis it gets is basically saying how much we recommend it. So a full Bruce Willis would be like, not only is it worth watching, but like, we totally recommend this movie. So for Bruno the Kid, Kendrick, where would you place this? How many letters would you give it?
So we should say up front that, similar to Moonlighting, we did not watch all of Bruno the Kid episodes.
Correct.
We watched a collection. I don't think we watched the same ones for this one particularly. So I did not watch all of Bruno the Kid. But of the Bruno the Kid I did watch, similar again to Moonlighting, I'm going to give it a Bruce WI because I found it extremely watchable and it's the perfect length. I believe they're right at about half an hour, a little less than half an hour, and they're on YouTube or other free ad-based streaming services. And so if you want a, if you like other kid adjacent comedies from the 90s, animated comedies from the 90s, I think this is great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that it unfortunately is coming out at a time when you have some really other good kid comedy based TV shows to choose from, specifically Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain. And while I don't think it's as good as either of those, I do think it's worth a watch, and especially if you like kids shows. I like a good kids show because you can do a lot of kind of silly stuff in there that I feel like a lot of adult cartoons don't tend to do unless they're like Futurama or The Simpsons. But I liked it. Yeah, I'd probably give it like a Bruce W. Not a Bruce Wee, but a Bruce
W. I oscillated between a Bruce W and a Bruce Wee. I probably would, since I gave Moonlighting a Bruce Wee, I'd probably give this a Bruce W because I did not like this quite as much as Moonlighting.
Before we get into other stuff related to Bruno the Kid, Kendrick, did you have a couple of things that you wanted to plug with some breaking Willis news?
Yeah, so our boy Bruce, our main man Willis, he's been in the news recently. I wanted to call out a couple updates on some works that he's working on for new movies. So there's the Maui News released an article about films that are filming in Hawaii, one of them being Paradise City, which is an independent film that stars John Travolta and Bruce Willis, which is their first team up since Pulp Fiction, which was 27 years ago, and they just wrapped up filming. And I had heard of this movie, but I did not realize it was their first reconnection since Pulp Fiction. So that could be fun. Neither of them have done anything super exciting recently, but still, I'm excited to see that. Also, he is in a movie called Midnight in the Switchgrass that is airing, that is set to release this year. And that movie stars Megan Fox and Bruce Willis, and they're detectives hunting a serial killer. A new trailer just dropped for that. So that's another exciting work coming up. And hopefully when that movie comes out this year, we can go see it in a theater.
Yeah, that would be great if we could go watch it and then do an episode, maybe even right after that. I don't know how we work that with the schedule or whatever, but that could be fun to do.
That would be fun. There's also this article I wanted to talk to you about. It's on screenrant.com. It's called 10 Things Bruce Willis, 10 Things in His Movies That Would Never Fly About Bruce Willis, written by Ben Hathaway. And it just came out as of recording this just recently. And I find it fascinating. I always like do some Google searches before we record episodes to make sure that, you know, if he's in the news or if he's got any new work or people are writing about him, to kind of encompass that in our discussion. And it's interesting that this article has 10 Bruce Willis movies, but there are 10 movies we've already talked about. And each of the 10 movies topics are things that we brought up. So I feel like we should pat ourselves on the back because presumably, Ben Hathaway, you're listening to us and we're helping you write your Screen Rant articles.
Yeah, Ben, come to us for all of your Bruce Willis related takes.
So I can only assume that's how this works. Ben, if you're out there listening for real, though, we'd love to have you on. This, I'll put the link to this article in the show notes, but it has things like talking about the different Die Hard movies and how a lot of the stuff they do in those movies are super tropey. It talks about Quentin Tarantino's language in Pulp Fiction and how he wrote himself into a character that seems extremely problematic now. It talks about 12 Monkeys referencing viruses, which is a big no-no really now. So all great stuff. So that's fun. If you are listening and you want to get a hold of us and send us a question or correction or send us a thank you, you can email us at williswaypod@gmail.com. You can also tweet at us, williswaypod, or we have an Instagram, williswaypod. There's also the Last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network Facebook page, where we monitor and post things over there every so often. So you can check that out if you're a Facebook fan.
Do you remember when Facebook, you didn't like pages, you became a fan of stuff?
So there was a time that there was you could not separate like a page from yourself. And so people were creating like separate logins for things, and then businesses had to do that. This was kind of like when Facebook was trying to figure out how to manage. So there was things you could like, and then there was things you could become a fan of, and then there was things you could follow. And I don't know if that's still the case, but it was all over the place.
Yeah, it was bonkers. But yeah, you just saying if you became a fan of us on Facebook or whatever, you said, and I was like, oh man, that just sent me back.
Yeah.
Getting nostalgia for a worse version of Facebook. This is terrible.
Giving people pokes on Facebook?
No. Oh man. Back when cover photos were the most controversial thing on Facebook, not like the president of the US being like, good job on this riot. Anyways, we're going to go back in time to like 1990s and talk about Bruno the Kid. No time for kids' games. No time for girls. Helping the good guys. Saving the world. Call up Bruno. Yeah, call up the kid. When you got a problem, call Bruno the Kid. Where does he come from? Where has he been? Where? Nobody knows that.
That audio was from the theme song of Bruno the Kid. I'm going to read the description from IMDb. An 11-year-old becomes the top spy for top secret espionage agency. These episodes are available on YouTube. Joshua, do you remember not that long ago where I told you I had to make a login for Memory Alpha to correct a typo?
Yes, I do.
Memory Alpha being the IMDb / Wikipedia equivalent for Star Trek specifically. I had to do that same thing for IMDb today, make a login under our Willis Way Pod account to fix a typo on this website. This Bruno the Kid, it misspelled secret.
Oh, wow. That's great. We're slowly making the internet a better place everywhere that we go.
I'm like an internet janitor.
Yeah. Just related to like Bruce Willis adjacent stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you know, everybody's got to have their bit. So let's talk Bruno the Kid. Like I mentioned, it's short episodes. I think there's only 36 episodes. Mm-hmm. There's a quote unquote movie out there, but really it's not, you can't find it as a movie. It's just a collection of a handful of episodes. Yeah. These episodes star Bruce Willis playing the voice of Bruno. And then the rest of the cast is pretty good. The rest of the voice
super
cast.
Super stacked, yeah.
Jennifer Hale plays Lisey Davidson. Tony Jay plays Jarlsberg, probably my favorite character. And then Mark Hamill plays Harris. And then there's a whole bunch of antagonists who play super silly villains. The basic premise of this show is Bruno the Kid is kind of like a, I don't even know if I'd say kid genius, but just kind of a clever kid who sits at home and animates himself into fake online personas. And then this like spy agency picks him up and sends him on missions to fight bad guys. What I found super funny was his animated version of himself looks like Bruce Willis.
Yeah. I loved that.
He's making like a 1990s CGI version of Bruce Willis who's like acting on a TV in front of these other people who are the head of this spy ring. And it's just so silly.
Yeah. And I don't remember what streamer it is, but there's some streamer out there that uses like a... There might be multiples of these people, but I know of one in particular. Do not remember their name, but they use like an anime avatar that is basically like an overlay over their face. So you don't see what they actually look like, but this anime person is this character that they play. And that is basically what it is, except for Bruce Willis, the actor, is playing a kid who is playing a Bruce Willis character. And it is,
yeah,
it's so, so silly. So yeah. Very silly.
And he has a partner, Jarlsberg, who at first doesn't believe that there's any way that this kid can be a spy. But, you know, Bruno saves the day enough that they finally let him do it. And then they just kind of go on wacky hijinks.
Which I think is like a really good concept for a show like this. And I think that it's definitely a fun little time. It's not like you're going to see something that's going to change the way that you look at animation or anything like that. But they are
right.
A perfectly enjoyable way to spend 25 minutes or whatever.
Right. I like how it does not devolve. I think it would be very easy for this type of show to devolve into a Animaniacs or similar-esque style where it's... I don't know if violent is the right word, but where they become overly ridiculous in the sense of, you know, bombs going off and missiles being shot at people and tanks coming in. Like, there's very little, it's obviously animated and it's a kid show, so it's ridiculous, but there's very little chaotic ridiculousness. And I thought, as from the episodes I watched, I thought it all seemed like the right amount of silly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a really good balance of silly and, believableness, because if you go like too wacky, you start to leave behind all of the rules of before, and that can work in some things, as we've seen with like Moonlighting. And I'd say Animaniacs does it pretty well with the older show. The newer one has less of a success rate for me, but you have to be really careful when you keep breaking the rules of everything that you're constructing, because you don't want to leave behind your audience. And I think Bruno definitely strikes that really good balance.
This show also pulls a lot from James Bond and Mission Impossible and The Man from U.N.C.L.E., all those kind of
Get Smart,
spy. Yeah. Yeah. All the classic tales of spies versus anti-spies and secret gadgets and, you know, undercover rings and flying around the world and silly bomb. Like, everything you could think of is used in this show.
Yeah.
So YouTube classifies this as a kid's show because it's like filed under YouTube Kids and they have different features. You can't leave comments and some other stuff. So to kind of prevent kids from reading the comments, as it were. I guess it's a kid's show, but it didn't really strike me as a kid's show. And I don't know if that's just because I haven't watched an animated kid's show in a while. But it felt to me more like a show like a teenager or a young adult would like.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I definitely see where you're coming from. Like, the animation is done pretty smoothly and the voice acting is all pretty good and the dialogue is quick and snappy. So I definitely see where you're coming from. It's not embarrassing. Like, I recently rewatched some of the Sonic the Hedgehog TV show from the early 90s, and that one's definitely like made for kids. When I watched it as a kid, it was fine. It is not fine anymore. This one definitely has a wider appeal, but I think that society just in general wasn't super ready for adult cartoons. It was just beginning to be ready for them. So I think that it probably would have done better in like a today where we accept cartoons as being a little bit more versatile and more capable of telling a wider variety of stories. Not that you'd want to tell a super wide variety of stories, but audiences are more willing to give it a shot, I feel like.
Yeah. I was specifically thinking of the comedy seems a little quick-witted for a kid to pick up on. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there is, this is well-known and documented, there's definitely a market for kids shows that parents can watch, because a lot of times parents today don't want their kids just watching stuff by themselves. They want, you know, an adult to sit there and make sure they're not watching like Hail Satan over and over again or whatever. I don't know. But
You know, that this popular show, cartoon show.
Yeah.
It had four seasons on Disney, you know.
This show, Bruno the Kid, has a lot of jokes that I think kids would miss. And I remember Rocky and Bullwinkle, I also thought very similar. It definitely was a kid show. It had a lot of gags that kids like to watch. But rewatching it as an adult, you pick up a lot more on the puns and the wordplay and the kind of stuff that kind of goes over a kid's head.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that there is definitely a lot to say about writing a show at a from a point of intelligence rather than trying to write down, because I feel like there's zero or next to zero appeal outside of that age demographic. And so you're just losing audience members at that point. You're losing eyes. And so with a show like this or any other show where they're kind of writing a little bit above their target audience, or they're at least having there be like room for expansion where there's puns and stuff and, you know, like undertones that you can get as an adult or as an older kid, I feel like those shows are the shows that are really, really well remembered. Like you look at Batman the Animated Series or anything like that, that was done with kids in mind, but they weren't unwilling to tell like darker stories or kind of push things in a direction that was serious and stuff like that. And I think that those are the types of shows that are really remembered fondly.
This show also really gets to showcase Bruce Willis a lot. He was a executive producer in the show, so he had a lot of input in the producing and the writing of the show. And you could tell because it makes use of his musical talents. There's a lot of times in the episodes I saw where he will play the harmonica and do a little sing to kind of distract some bad guys here and there or stuff like that. So, and it's super quippy. He's always using kind of one-liners as he gets away and distracts people. So I thought all that seemed very in line with the Bruce Willis that we've been watching for the last 20-some movies.
Especially like the Hudson Hawk era Bruce Willis and like Die Hard Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
That sort of guy. Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't talked too much about this, but what are your general feelings on animation in general? Are you someone who is turned off by animation, or do you like animated movies usually?
I think I almost have a preference for animated movies over live action movies, because I feel like you can tell a wider array of stories within those. I mean, you look at like a lot of different Disney cartoons, and the fact that they use animals allows them to kind of like tell a more interesting story. Like Bambi would be way less interesting if it was with people than if it was with animals. And I think that there's definitely a place for cartoons. So I always hate it when movies are like, oh no, we have to do this live action, when it could work a lot better as a cartoon. And I'm really excited to see like Marvel do their What If series that's coming out, that's going to be all cartoons. I think that that's going to be really exciting. So I definitely like them. I'm not turned off by them at all. There's certain art styles that I'm less crazy about. Like I am less personally into anime art styles, although I can appreciate it. But yeah, I adore animation for sure. What about you?
I don't know if I would go as far as to say that I find that I would prefer animation over live action, but I really enjoy a good animation piece. I think right now we're kind of in the golden era of animation, and I mean that in multiple senses. Like, yes, technology is going to change and it's going to become cheaper and easier to do better looking animated work, but we're also becoming more accepting as an audience of animation that is for different people. So, you know, there's a lot of animated shows that work well for kids, but also can bring in their parents. But there's also a lot of animated shows that have a lot of heavy adult themes and, you know, are not for kids. I'm thinking like BoJack Horseman, probably one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah.
Not a kid show, but like a well-done animated show. Another show that I recently watched was Invincible on Amazon Prime. Have you heard of that show?
I have heard of it. I just haven't made the time to watch it yet.
It's based on a comic book. It's very, again, adult focused, has a lot of violence, but it talks about a superhero story we see a lot of in other works. I won't spoil it, but it tells a story that feels like a commonly told story, but I thought did it in a great way, and the voice acting is all done really well. There, the animation I wasn't as big of a fan of. It felt almost like akin to the 1980s G.I. Joe show animation or something. Like it was trying to not be very good, but they are hour-long episodes. So, again, going back, it is expensive to make an animated show, so I can kind of understand it. But all that said, and with Pixar movies and other Disney animated movies, and I am a big fan of those. As far as anime goes, like Japanese anime, I don't have much experience there. Miyazaki films I find to be all very well done. And then there's a handful of other like 1980s and 1990s Japanese anime movies that I thought were really powerful and have stuck with me a long time. I'm thinking of Akira. And there's also... what's that TV show that like 8-episode show that Netflix is bringing back? Cowboy Bebop. Animated show that I thought was really well done, and I'm excited. It transcends genres in a lot of ways, and I'm excited for the Netflix reboot of that. So yeah, I'm usually pretty open to animation.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think Bruno the Kid, if it was done today, would fare any better than it would have back then?
I didn't look at how well it was received back then.
It was canceled after 36 episodes, so I feel like that's a
yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Good indicator.
I think the landscape is pretty competitive right now.
Mm-hmm.
So... as it stands, I don't think Bruno the Kid would do better. What I do think would do well is I think Bruce Willis returning as a voice actor, because he obviously, or it appears that he enjoys voice acting. Mm-hmm. Like the two things we're talking about today, then we've already talked about Look Who's Talking, and coming up in the future, we have multiple other iterations of him doing voiceover work. So it's not something that he shies away from. Even in stuff like Bruno the Kid, where it's not going to be a financial success, he still wants to get involved. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for him to do voice work. I don't know if maybe he just didn't like that anymore or what, but I think that would be fun. I mean, we have J.K. Simmons in like every voiceover role possible. And, I think Bruce Willis could play some of those roles, some of those characters.
Yeah. Come on, put him in a show, somebody.
Actually, I was thinking about this today. I think what I would love to see Bruce Willis take on, artistically is a side character or maybe even a lead character in a miniseries. So we've kind of over the last few years experienced the resurgence of the miniseries, like on HBO or Netflix, where it's just an 8-episode run of a story with no plans for a sequel or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's usually been a vehicle for bringing in some pretty big talent. And you can bring in big movie stars because they know that they're not going to get sucked into like a multi-year contract. They're just going to do the 8 episodes. And, I think that would be fun to see Bruce Willis in. I don't like know of a specific media, but I think that would be a fun like way to change up his current model of mid-level action blockbuster that doesn't do so well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So if you are Willis's agent, get in touch with us. We have ideas.
Yeah, and our ideas are to go find ideas.
Yep.
I mean, you better call us and pay us first, and then I'll tell you what my ideas are.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get any free... There's no no free lunches on our podcast. All right, cool. Well, one other thing that I wanted to mention with this episode, is, or with the Bruno the Kid segment, is the... We've already mentioned Tony J, who plays kind of like the sidekick character named Jarlsberg. And he played a character named Kempio in Star Trek The Next Generation in the fifth season episode, The Cost of Living, which is an episode with Troy's mom. So take from that what you will. But I know him actually from other voice acting roles because he is the narrator in the movie Treasure Planet, as well as playing Judge Frollo in Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is one of my favorite Disney movies of all time. So shout out to Mr. Tony J.
He's also in Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did see that. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's done a lot of voiceover work.
Good job, Tony. Good job, Tony.
Yeah. All right, anything else about Bruno the Kid before we move on?
No, I think I'm ready to move on to Beavis and Butthead.
Beavis and Butthead hit the road. Our call to seek their fortune.
Yeah, I want to watch TV.
Find romance.
Can I help you with that?
I love you. Come to Butthead.
You got 2 seconds.
Is that going to be enough time?
Win fame.
I am going on you.
These are the most dangerous men in America. I want these faces in front of every Fed and two-bit sheriff within 1,000 miles.
Get the hell out of the cockpit!
You bet.
Now!
And do an entire nation.
Wally, get out, what is TV?
I think I found the remote.
In an adventure too big for your television.
Did we miss Baywatch?
No. Beavis and Butthead do America.
I extend my deepest thanks.
He said extend.
That audio was from the trailer of Beavis and Butthead Do America. I'm going to read the description from IMDb. Our intrepid adolescent heroes wake up to find their beloved television stolen and embark on an epic journey across America to recover it, and who knows, maybe even score. And you can find this movie on video on demand services, including Amazon Prime, as well as Paramount Plus, which is where I watched it. So, Kendrick.
Yes, Joshua.
I texted you. Because you, my dear, dear pal, had said when we recorded our The Player episode, you're like, you know, I don't think we should skip Beavis and Butthead. I think it's going to be worth our watch. We should, I'm curious to see how it is. And I was like, yeah, it sounds good. And then I watched this movie, and like 20 minutes in, I was like, God damn it, Kendrick, why did you want to watch this movie? And then I continued watching this movie. And as a completionist, I am happy that I did, but I will not say that my experience was altogether pleasant. What about yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. I don't remember me being the big proponent of this movie, but we can disagree to agree. I remember this movie growing up. When did this movie come out? 1996. So I'd have been 9 when it came out. And preceding this movie was the TV show Beavis and Butthead. Mm-hmm. I remember this being on TV growing up. I did not watch it at all and had no experience watching any Beavis and Butthead. And then it kind of disappeared off the radar for a while. And I never went back and decided to do it, to look back at it again. I do know that it had a little bit of resurgence recently, like within the last 10 years, I think it had a little bit of a comeback, but watching this, I felt like completely encompassed Gen X culture in a nutshell.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not Gen X. Gen X is people who were born up to 1979. And I think what I mean to say is Gen X grew up pre 9/11. Like most Gen Xers were out of high school by 9/11. And I think between the dot-com boom and 9/11 and then all the rest of the stuff that happened in the early 2000s, I think shifted culture away from, in Gen X, kind of the prevailing culture of the day was what you see in Beavis and Butthead with the irreverent, you know, make fun of everything, don't take anyone serious, anyone who is serious should be made fun of, everyone is an idiot, that kind of feeling. And I think if you mm-hmm. look at like a lot of music like Nirvana and other stuff at the time, you see people being like, no one cares and that's a problem. And then I think after, you know, we witnessed a lot of tragedies since the 2000s, both overseas and here in America. And I think that shifted a lot of our thought, and then it shifted how the media we consume was being produced. And now you look at a lot of stuff and we're seeing a lot more earnest, but not cheesy earnest stuff. I'm thinking of like Paddington or Ted Lasso. There's a lot of stuff that is like as far away from the humor that Beavis and Butthead aims for as possible. And even the stuff that is not earnest, but is still kind of funny, like in a irreverent way, is not to this extent. So I think the show It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was kind of the bridge show that kind of took us out of this era, because that's another show I think of that had a lot of that same feeling of, you know, you're on your own, make fun of everybody else, get what you can kind of feeling that the humor in this show exists on. All that to say, this was a painful experience to watch this movie. I'm glad I didn't pay to watch this movie. I think if it wasn't for the constant, I don't even know what you call it, noises, hangs that they do, it could have been a little more stomachable. Yeah. But that in of itself was so painful.
Yeah, I was in agony watching this movie, and I did find plenty of things to laugh at, but it was all stuff that wasn't involving the main characters. And then it would go back to the main characters, and it was just the entire time. And I was just sitting there like wanting to tear my eyeballs out of their sockets and remove my ears and flush all of that down the toilet. It's like, this movie is so hard to watch.
Yep. I think it worked better as a TV show, like a short form TV show, because you cannot, if you only had to watch this for 20 minutes, I totally could have handled it. Wouldn't have been my thing, but I could at least have got it and enjoyed it and, you know, had a good time with it. But as it was, an hour and a half, I think, is about how long this movie is, an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It just got to be too much. What I did not know at the time, so I was familiar a little bit with Mike Judge, who is the writer, director of this, along with some other people, and then he voices a lot of the characters, Beavis and Butthead. He created the show and he voices a lot of the people. What I did not realize was how much other work he has done. So, what's your experience with Mike Judge in general? Like, do you like his other stuff?
I'm looking through the other stuff that he's done, and I actually don't think I've seen any of the other stuff that he was a producer for. And I'm looking at the writer stuff as well.
So the biggest things I can think of for me are he did Office Space.
I haven't seen that.
And then he did Idiocracy, which seem like both Office Space and Idiocracy bookend the Beavis and Butthead era. And I think Idiocracy takes the concepts that he wants to get across in Beavis and Butthead and makes the humor easily to easily digestible and understandable and not quite as offensive, but still funny. And so I think Idiocracy to me is really hits that stride of I get the feeling, and maybe you can tell me what you think of this, but Beavis and Butthead are kind of his fears for America's future, because they're teenagers who don't care about anything, don't care about school, can't even really focus on anything. And so they just sit at home and watch TV. And similar to Office Space and to Idiocracy, there's this underlying thought that human society is going to go the way of the least common denominator, which is idiots. And so fast forward enough time and we're only going to have lazy idiots left, because anyone who's not a lazy idiot is going to basically get evolved out. So I think that's kind of the message he's working on here with Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. I think that is more of a analytical approach to it. And obviously you're looking at more of the, like, what his thesis is within the show. That's a really insightful way to look at it, I'd say. It didn't occur to me when I was watching it.
Yeah, I know. Me either. He also, because I didn't know at the time he had done Idiocracy. He also created King of the Hill based on the character from Beavis and Butthead. I don't know how much of a fan of King of the Hill you are, but
I haven't watched that either.
Hank Hill is a direct connection, not the same character, but practically the same character as the guy in this movie who is in the camper all the time, who's just around and has that kind of Southern drawl. Looks and accent and mannerisms are exactly the same as this King of the Hill character.
Oh, that's funny. I felt bad for that guy the entire movie.
Yeah. He was having a bad time. I fought in two foreign wars.
Yeah.
And then also more recently, Mike Judge was one of the creators for Silicon Valley. I have not seen a lot of that show, but of that show I have seen, again, it focuses on kind of the successes of idiots and how idiots are kind of the ruling class almost. So yeah, I don't think that, you know, that redeems the kind of reprehensiveness of Beavis and Butthead to America. I still find it just far too crass and unmanageable for me to handle.
Yeah.
We didn't give it a Bruce Willis rating. What would you rate it?
Well, I was actually going to do a callback to our first Moonlighting episode, and I was probably going to give this a Walter or maybe even a Walt out of Walter Bruce Willis. I hated this. I felt like my time was actively ruined by watching this movie. What about you?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's probably the hardest thing we've had to watch. I can't think of even Cosmic Sin or Bonfire of the Vanities or Look Who's Talking. I was able to at least watch this movie. I had to turn off and finish it the next day.
Yeah. I watched it all the way straight through, but I just got more sad the more I watched of the movie. And when I went through and I ranked them, I mean, we'll talk about the ranking later, but yeah, it was painful. There were a few funny moments in it. Like, there's a great moment with a old lady on a airplane when they're flying down to Las Vegas, and there's confusion about the word slots, where the like Beavis and Butthead characters hear sluts, and she's like, "There's so many sluts down in Las Vegas," and they're like, "Oh boy, this is gonna be the best thing ever." I thought that was pretty funny. There is another great joke where there's like a really, really straight man type of character who's, I'm going to look him up because I want to get his name right, but he plays like this federal guy. Yeah. The alcohol and tobacco and firearms agent Fleming, played by Robert Stack. He is just playing it 110% straight, and he is so funny. But there's one part in it where this guy is like talking about how the Beavis and Butthead characters had he was like the trailer, the camper trailer in which these Beavis and Butthead characters had masturbated in, and then that character played by Robert Stack is just like, "Oh, you are a federal agent. You will not end a sentence with the preposition." And then the guy like spends forever trying to reform the sentence to not end with "in," and it comes back later, and it's so good. I had to pause the movie because I was laughing so hard at that moment.
Chief, you know that guy whose camper they were whacking off in?
Mork, you are a federal agent. You represent the United States government. Never end a sentence with a preposition.
Oh, you know that guy in whose camper they... I mean, that guy off in whose camper they were whacking.
That's better. Yes?
Because you expect him to have a different beef with what they had just said, but
yeah,
he goes down that path.
I agree.
And you're like, oh my god,
that part was really funny. There's also a running gag where every time they find anyone who Beavis and Butthead had been around, they have to do a cavity search.
Oh yeah,
just for no reason. They're like, hey, they saw Beavis and Butthead walking down the hallway. Do a cavity search.
Yeah, and my favorite one was they're like, do a cavity search. Don't stop till you reach the back of their teeth. And you're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's another funny bit where they're in the desert and they're complaining about how there's no drinking fountains or 7-Elevens out there.
Mm-hmm.
I like that part. I also read on IMDb that apparently during that desert sequence, there's like music playing when they're almost dying of heat exhaustion. And mm-hmm. I was going like, what is the significance of that?
They're like hallucinating, like, you know, satanic events and like going to hell and dying and everything's coming to life around them and all this stuff's happening.
Yeah. But when the soundtrack, if you played that song backwards, you hear stuff in the background and it's Beavis and Butthead being like, everybody go to college, study hard, It's totally antithetical to the rest of the movie, which is so funny. Love stuff like that.
Yeah, I too thought that was really... I was watching on Amazon Prime, and Amazon Prime has this thing where like they'll have an overlay that's I think it's called X-ray, where it'll tell you like who's acting and who's in the scene that you're watching and other trivia. And that I moused over the screen when it was in that scene, and it was like trivia. If you play this in reverse, they're saying, yeah, go to school, do your homework, that kind of stuff.
I
got a real good kick out of that.
Yeah, it was great. One of my other favorite trivia things about this movie was that apparently Paramount Pictures heard the idea for the movie, and they're like, perfect, let's make that live action. And then Mike Judge was like, no way, I don't want to do a live action movie. And then apparently they really wanted, at some points, they wanted either David Spade and Adam Sandler or Chris Farley and David Spade to play Beavis and Butthead. And then in the live action version of it, and then it basically came down to a coin toss as far as whether or not they were going to make a live action or make it a cartoon. And then it landed on cartoon. So that's what they made. But we almost had a David Spade, Chris Farley version of it, which I feel like probably would have been better. As much as I talked about how I prefer cartoons, the animation in this movie is really jerky and very, very, minimalistic, and so it's not a very pretty movie to watch, and the character designs are really off-putting as well. So mm-hmm. I would not have preferred for this cartoon version over whatever other version we would have gotten in live action form.
Yeah, I agree. This was also the second animated Bruce Willis movie we've seen with a I guess I should say the second movie we've seen with an animated insemination scene.
Oh yeah.
The other one being both Look Who's Talking's.
Yeah. And I was also gonna say, in the first episode for Bruno the Kid, there's a segment about how the Hoover Dam is gonna get blown up, to knock out the power grid of Las Vegas. And that happens in this movie.
Beavis and Butthead, I was like, whoa, that is a weird crossover that we weren't expecting.
And they reference a like big super powerful virus that's like a big part of what this movie is about. So I was like, wow, this movie's crossing over with Bruno the Kid, 12 Monkeys, and Look Who's Talking. So
yeah,
kind of wild. Yeah, I also wanted to give a shout out to one of the other actors one of the other actresses that's in this movie. So this lady named Cloris Leachman is in this movie, and she plays the older lady that I had talked about earlier. But I know her from being in Young Frankenstein and playing the role Frere Blücher. And she is wonderful in that, and she is so good in this movie as well.
She's in a lot of stuff, and she's always wonderful.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And, like, the soundtrack is decent. Like, there's a good AC/DC song. Well, not a good AC/DC song. There's a decent AC/DC song and a decent Ozzy song as well. And every once in a while, they do something that's unique or interesting to watch. But I cannot not recommend this movie enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, I'm glad we didn't pay for it. We were able to get it done. I'm glad we could pair it with something else.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, if you ever decide you're going to watch Beavis and Butthead the movie, plan for a chaser. Figure out something else you're going to watch with it, and then go with that.
Yeah. I think anybody who has watched other Beavis and Butthead probably knows what they're getting into.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we should have watched like an episode or two before it, so then we could be prepared for it. Because I felt like I just jumped in the world's coldest pool after like being nice and warm inside my house. So
the world's coldest pool.
Like, you know, it's how like I didn't dip my toes in. I didn't get acclimated or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a rough go of things. Mm-hmm. So it was fun.
Did you happen to look up what the box office was for this movie?
I did, yeah. So this movie got made on a $12 million budget, and then it made $63.1 million at the box office. And it has a Rotten Tomatoes rating of 72%, which makes it the sixth highest rated movie that we have covered on this podcast.
Wow. We should talk a little bit about what Bruce Willis actually does in this movie. I don't want to, we don't need to dive into the plot of this movie, but Bruce Willis is a gangster named Muddy Grimes who is hiring some people to kill his wife, who is voiced by Demi Moore, which I thought was a funny real life crossover.
Yeah.
And Beavis and Butthead happened to be in the area, and so Muddy Grimes thinks that they're the assassins, and so they're like, hey, I need you to do my wife for me. I'll give you $10,000. And obviously Beavis and Butthead thinks that he means have sex with her, so they spend the whole movie trying to find this woman and have sex with her, and then there's a virus involved, and that sums up most of the plot of this movie. But Bruce Willis's role is fairly slim. It's in the beginning, kind of setting it up, and then it's in a few other moments where he pops back in to see them.
Yeah. And I didn't really get the feeling that Bruce Willis was having a great time with it, but that could have also just been me kind of projecting my emotions onto the movie.
Yeah.
Did you get the sense that he was having a good time with it?
No, I agree. I think he... I just never, like, it's hard to say, but his character didn't ever seem to be having a lot of fun in it. It's not like it was a bad performance, but just not the other voiceover work we've seen.
Yeah, like, he was fine in it for sure, but I've definitely seen him do better voiceover work, even in the Look Who's Talking series. I feel like he's doing a better job, so. Yeah. I didn't look it up, but is there a decent Star Trek connection for the...
So we have Beavis? John Doman, I I think his name is. He was the voice of the airplane captain in Beavis and Butthead. So not a major role. But he was also in Die Hard with a Vengeance. He played one of the foremen. And so I thought that was funny. But he is in a Star Trek episode of Deep Space Nine called Shakar, where he plays a Bajoran named Lenaris Holem.
Oh, I remember this guy now. I'm picturing his memory alpha page in my mind.
Yeah, he apparently was much bigger on the show The Wire. I never watched The Wire, but apparently that was his big hit.
I've heard a lot of people really like The Wire, but yeah, I have not made the time to go watch it.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our Star Trek connection. I didn't do too much digging. I saw that he popped up kind of early in my digging, and he has had a Die Hard connection, so I thought it seemed noteworthy.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough. So I know that we've already teased it a little bit, but where would you put this Beavis and Butthead movie in the ranking of all of the movies that we've covered so far?
I think it's going to go smack at the bottom.
Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say number 23. We did not put Moonlighting on our list, and we also didn't put The Player / Four Rooms on our list. So all that being said, I think Beavis and Butthead belong on the bottom.
Yeah, I am right there with you. I think that it's pretty atrocious. I would much rather watch Look Who's Talking To twice over, Bonfire of the Vanities twice over, or Cosmic Sin twice over than rewatch this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey, that's like our first movie that we actually put in the same spot in a long time. Oh, other than 12 Monkeys.
Since 12 Monkeys.
Actually, we have the same top three, so never mind. I take it back. Actually, our top five is the exact same with one switched between fourth and fifth on each other's lists. But yeah.
Yeah. I wish that there was a way to like animate our rankings so that you could see maybe like an animation over time so that you could kind of see how we start out. Our top rankings are kind of similar, but as you go throughout the list, like they diverge more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. That'd be fun. I'm glad that we both agree that this movie is not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, Kendrick, I don't have my watch on me. Do you have your watch on you?
I don't have my watch on me, but I did set a calendar reminder.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because I knew exactly when the time would be.
Oh, wow.
And that time is the Wheel of Willis.
The Wheel of Willis. Well, do you know what we do every time we spin the Wheel of Willis, this time being spun for Bruno the Kid?
Every time we spin the Wheel of Willis, especially for when we spin it for... Every time we spin it for Bruno the Kid, we say together, edited or unedited,
whisk that wheel. All right, it has been whisked. Okay, what style of dance do you think this Bruce Willis character does the most?
This is Bruno the Kid. He square dances.
Yeah. I could see that, or like whatever the one is where he's crossing his knees and his hands back and forth. I don't remember what that one's called. Charlton?
Charleston? Like that?
Yeah, Charleston. Yeah. Something that a kid would do.
I think the Charlton. Oh no, that's a Carlton. Wait, what am I thinking of? From from Fresh Prince.
I haven't watched Fresh Prince actually.
Okay, well,
I am the unfreshest of princes.
We'll start a Will Smith podcast at some point and watch Fresh Prince.
Where there's a Will Smith, there's a way.
We're starting our own Where There's a Podcast Network.
Oh, man. Of different people who have Will in their name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, you ready to do the same thing for the Beavis and Butthead movie?
Let's do it.
All right. In unison, we say,
whisk that wheel. I hope my neighbors and anyone who can hear me knows to come look up this podcast.
No kidding. All right. Is there any role in this movie that Bruce Willis could play with the caveat that he has to play a woman and wear a wig? Damn it. This is a really good one, but it's physical. Okay. So let's take out the last part of it. Let's say, is there any role in this movie that Bruce Willis could play? And I'm going to leave this one up, so we might get this one later. I'm not going to hide this one.
Okay, so other than Muddy Grimes,
yeah,
is there another role he could play?
Yeah.
I think he could do the one of the roadies that they meet in the desert who are supposedly their parents, their dads.
Oh, yeah.
One of those voices is David Letterman.
Yeah, I saw that. That's wild.
I think he could do those characters. I think that'd be pretty funny. I also think he could do that, the ATF agent who's basically hunting him down the whole time. I think.
Yeah, I agree.
He'd be good at that.
I'd agree. I would love to see him do that. I'd also love to see him as the president at the end, not necessarily to see him do a Bill Clinton impression, but just see him as the president. I think that'd be pretty funny too.
It would be funny if he was just doing the president as Bruce Willis, not like any actual president, but... But just like being Bruce Willis as president, that'd be funny.
That'd be great. I would love to see that. Okay. Well, cool. Thank you everybody for listening to Where There's a Willis, There's a Way. If you guys could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, it really helps out a lot. Feel free to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WillisWayPod. And then you can always email us at WillisWayPod@gmail.com. Find all of our previous episodes on Apple Podcasts, or wherever podcasts grow on podcast trees.
Mm-hmm. We're like podcast gardeners. We just prune back unwanted podcasts and release the rest. You can find my gardening jokes on Twitter at K Martinix, KMARTINIX. You can also find my other work at kmartinix.com. I've been messing around lately with doing some time-lapse GoPro video from different things, making some YouTube videos, so you can check that out over there.
Ooh. You can see me retweeting Kendrick's stuff and the Willis Waypod stuff on Twitter at Josh and Carter.
All right. Next week, we are going to be talking about The Jackal. Excited to talk about that movie.
Yeah, I am too. Sidney Poitier is in it, so I am so pumped to talk about it because I'm a big fan of him, and it'll be really exciting to watch it. I know that it's not going to be the most amazing movie ever, but I am excited to talk about it nonetheless. So that'll be an episode releasing next week. As always, thank you guys for listening. Have a good one.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye.